Hey, everybody, and welcome to Viewing Eagles, live from the quarantine zone. It's Dan and Rob, and we're here to bring you all the fun streaming recommendations we can. Right,
yeah.
Rob?
It's a special episode this week because if you're in America, you're probably locked in your house for the next month or so, hopefully working from home, washing your hands, and we are here to give you recommendations on shit to watch to pass the time.
Exactly. We're all going to die. Like, it's all over. You know, count your blessings. Watch that movie that you've been meaning to watch. For me, it's Booksmart, which is on Hulu. Still haven't seen it.
Watch Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah.
You gotta.
Watch all the long movies. I should have, like, ordered this in order of longest to shortest.
Watch the director's cut. Watch the director's cut of Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. That shit's 3 hours.
Yeah, that's so long. Is there a director's cut of Lawrence of Arabia? I can't imagine there is.
It is the director's cut, man. Yeah. Like, I feel like studios didn't interfere with movies as much back then because every fucking movie was like 3.5 hours.
Right, because everyone was so used to plays and they're like, yeah, people need something to do. It's not like they're going to go out and do other things.
And like intermissions were a thing back then too.
Yeah, intermissions are still great. Like, I would be down for like a 3 hour movie if they're like, hey, an hour and a half in, intermission.
Yeah.
Get out, go to the bathroom, come back, enjoy the rest.
Yeah, if movie theaters weren't so worried about packing as many screenings into a day as possible, and we still just like, if there was an intermission in Endgame, that'd be fucking great.
Yeah, there needs to be. Where would you put the intermission in Endgame?
Ooh. That's probably right before they travel through time.
Yeah, I think that actually would probably be a pretty good. Is that too far towards the end?
No, I think that's
right in the middle.
They spend like half of that movie is like references to the previous MCU films, which I think is what makes it so great because it is like the ultimate reward for people who have been with this franchise forever.
Yeah. That or like when they get to Fat Thor. Or that might be too early in.
Yeah, I think Fat Thor's too early in.
Yeah. Have you seen it more times since it was in theaters?
I don't think I watched it at home, but I saw it 4 times in theaters.
God damn.
So my bladder is strong.
Yeah, I cannot claim the same strength. Mm-mm. My bladder is weak. Let's talk about how this has affected the movie industry. This whole coronavirus, this COVID-19. First, I think the best way to do that is through the box office numbers.
Yeah, please. I haven't seen these yet, but I want to see them. Tell me, what are the box office numbers for this weekend?
It's actually like pretty flat. I mean, across like 1, 2, 3, like nothing really stood out hardcore, but we have Onward, the new Pixar adventure starring Chris Pratt and Tom Holland.
Oh, I forgot that movie came out.
Yeah, so did a lot of people. Came in first again this week at $10.6 million.
Oh my god, a Pixar? Wait, did it open this weekend or last weekend?
Last weekend.
Oh, okay. What did it?
So,
what percentage drop is that?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's a 72% drop.
Oh. That's beefy.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Worldwide, it's made $102 million. And this is its second weekend, so it's really not doing too hot.
That is getting an early release or a Disney Plus release or something soon. But
yeah, I wonder. I think that some studios are planning on letting movies that are currently in theaters on like video on demand early for like $20.
Well, we know that The Hunt and The Invisible Man, like Universal, is doing all their new releases on VOD now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Except, well, not because, you know, Fast was delayed by a year, which is a shame because I think a year is an incredibly long time to delay a movie. But I guess they just really want to own that slot, which I get because that movie's going to make bank.
I wonder, are people going to forget? I mean, now I have time to like rewatch all of them.
Yeah. And you should. I'm kind of upset that I rewatched all of them before this news came out because I was hyped as fuck for this movie. And I wonder if they're going to be able to, well, I wonder if they're going to be able to rebuild the hype now that like, cause you know, we were like at kind of the peak of the hype cycle. When this announcement came out,
they did press tours and everything.
Yeah. They had a fucking Cardi B concert to announce the trailer.
Yeah. They announced some other Vin Diesel movie in preparation for this new one.
Bloodshot.
You can hear the sirens in the background for me.
Oh, I thought that was me. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be happening anywhere. You know, the whole world is falling apart.
Corona. It's Corona time.
It is Corona time on St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. And so, speaking of Bloodshot, that came in number two at 9.2 million.
That's actually more than I was expecting this movie to make.
Might actually be fine. Like, it could, I mean, it had a budget of like $45 million.
That movie had a budget of $45
million? Yeah.
Oh, shit.
This is supposed to be like a Vin Diesel like vehicle, which how old is Vin Diesel?
I'm going to guess like early 40s.
Dude's 52.
No. Holy shit.
Dude is 52.
Wow.
His full name is Mark Sinclair. What? Mark Sinclair, known professionally as Vin Diesel.
What? He made the smart choice renaming himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Vin Diesel is a... Sounds like a wrestler, like a porn name.
Dude, it feels like a name that he made for himself because of Fast and Furious.
Yeah, he's... We got this new movie. It's like Point Break, but with cars. Who do we want? Diesel, I got this guy, Vin Diesel.
Perfect leading man.
Yeah, jeez. Well, I mean, whatever it takes, right?
Yeah. Honestly, still, that's not... Given this current situation, that's not as bad as it could have been.
True. Yeah. Imagine the guy who picked like the wrong name.
Yeah. Man, I would watch Bloodshot if it came to VOD, though. That's a quarantine movie.
Yeah, definitely. That's a movie that it comes on TV late at night and you're like, what if I got to lose?
Yeah.
Jeez. Well, coming at number three, right behind it, we had $9.1 million, is I Still Believe. This is a true life story of Christian music star.
Of course.
Star should be in quotes. Jeremy Camp and his journey of love and loss that looks to prove there's always hope. So that movie made just under $10 million. Don't know what the budget is, but I'm sure it's already made it back.
Yep.
It's got RJ Kipka. Is that his name from Riverdale?
I don't know Riverdale.
Me neither, but this is a person.
It is a person. He's getting that Christian money. He's getting that megachurch money. Them Joel Osteen checks.
Yeah. Isn't every shitty actor's dream is to star in like a religious drama.
I know it's Chris Pratt's dream, but
KJ Apa is the guy's name.
KJ Apa. That also sounds like a fake name.
Yeah. Kennedy James Fitzgerald
Kennedy.
Appa.
What the fuck?
Who are these people with these fucking names?
That sounds more made up than Vin Diesel.
Kennedy, who knows? I bet it's... Hey, he was raised in a Christian family and has stated that he is a Christian himself, expressing on social media that I need God every day.
You have a mental problem at that point. Like, man, just go to therapy.
Yeah, I need God every day. Dude, yeah, get some therapy, dude.
Yeah, you need actual help.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? There's no real like the movie news this week is just like
the movie news is that movies are canceled. Movies are fucking canceled
until further notice.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Rob? This is weird, right?
This is weird. This is rough. Well, so it really didn't start settling into me until I went to Rotten Tomatoes right before we started recording, and I saw that they took away like this week's movies and next week's movies. They took away those sections of the webpage. I'm just like, oh, shit. Even Rotten Tomatoes doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah, which I think this is why it's important at this stage, like realizing that we have so much good content out there to watch.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's important that we can do here is just really like list out some good things, some good recommendations for people to watch while they're quarantined. Hopefully we're not quarantined for too long, but I feel like it's going to be at least 2 to 4 weeks.
It's going to be, I think, a month minimum But I also think that the situation is definitely going to get worse before it starts getting better. Like, we have not, this is just the beginning.
Yeah. And be like, hey, we just got a test. We can test people. Oh, what, you all have it? All right.
Yeah. I bet you in 2 weeks we are where Italy is right now.
Maybe. I don't know.
And
did you see
Italy? Italy's fucked.
Yeah, they were always fucked, though.
They were always fucked. But it's because, you know why? It's because they knew the cases were in the country, but they didn't shut shit down because that sweet, sweet tourism revenue.
Yeah.
The nectar of capitalism.
Exactly. And now capitalism is currently on pause while we have real issues.
Exactly.
It's kind of funny that they're like, all right, we can pause all the markets, like keep everything like shut down. And it's like, what is this all made up? Like,
yeah. Well, the scary thing is there are a lot of people who think that everything happening is made up. Like I went to right before, like I really like shut myself in because I just moved. My roommate, Elmer, we went to IKEA to get some new furniture for the place. And when we were eating at the cafeteria, I heard the couple behind me talking about how Fox News was the only one doing any real reporting on the coronavirus because they were like, they were the only ones telling people to still go out and live and spend their money, which is what the economy needed. And the rest of the media was freaking out and overblowing the situation. And I'm just like, bitch, you're the problem. You are the fucking problem right now.
Hey, maybe she'll get COVID and die.
Yeah, I hope so. She has a kid.
Oh God. Well, kids are, I feel like, aren't affected by it.
Yeah, so no, but the kid's just gonna grow up motherless because her mom is a dipshit that liked to lick doorknobs in the middle of a pandemic.
People are getting wild out there. People, like, it's like, how, if someone told me to like, hey, we need you to stay in for like 2 to 4 weeks, and I'm like, done. And they're like, wait, we haven't told you why yet.
Yeah, like I don't give a shit why. Just tell me what I need to do. I'll do it. Like, I've been looking for this excuse for years.
Yeah, and how we finally have it. And now we've got some good stuff on deck to get people to watch.
Oh, yeah.
So Rob and I are going to lay out our not our top five, but just five recommendations based on a few different streaming services.
Before we get into this, though, I just want to talk about one more bit of movie news that I found fucking hilarious. I don't know if you heard about this, but Jared Leto has just come out.
I did hear about this. Yeah. This is the funniest thing.
Jared Leto just learned about the coronavirus situation in the world because he was on a 12-day retreat of like quiet meditation out in the fucking desert, completely isolated from all media. And he just came out of it and was tweeting today that he just learned about everything happening in the world.
Stay safe, everybody. Like, Jared, we know.
It's the most Jared Leto-ass thing I've ever heard.
God, you know Jared Leto rock climbs with the guy from Free Solo?
Yeah, I believe it.
They're like buddies. They rock climb together.
That's just a fucking lifestyle, man. Honestly, I'm jealous. Like, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't jealous that I can't have Jared Leto's lifestyle. Like, you kidding me? Like, the quarantine is cool, but my dream is to be able to go into a 12-day isolation retreat away from the world forever. Like,
right, that's what I really want. That was like, because coming back now, he's like, oh, now I'm prepared for this. Like, ease myself back into media.
Or he's just going to go back for another fucking meditation retreat session.
Back to the desert.
Yeah, back to the desert until this all blows over.
Yeah, God. This is nuts. I think about all those people on like Big Brother Germany.
Oh, so they're telling those people live and they're going to film the reactions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think they should just keep not letting them know. And then when they get out, everyone's dead.
Just keep them in quarantine. Like, keep them quarantined in the big house. Like, just keep them all in their rooms. Like, I want to see some psychological torture.
Oh, yeah. This is, like, pure, like, 10 Cloverfield Lane things where you're, trapped in a box.
Throw John Goodman into Big Brother Germany while we're at it. Like,
this is a time when we can get weird.
Yeah. Shit's gonna get weird. Like, I was thinking, today was my first work from home day, and I gotta do this shit for like another month at minimum because that's the company mandate.
Yeah.
Shit's gonna get, like, today, I can already tell shit's gonna get weird after like a week.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking, like, because this is day 4 for me. I was pretty much in all weekend long, save a few instances. And I think that the next weekend, as soon as Monday rolls around, I'll be like, what day is it really? Like, who can say?
Yeah. Time is a construct.
Yeah. Just got to keep walking outside, keep getting some exercise.
Just,
you know,
I just want to take some acid until this is over.
Right. I feel like that would be a bad idea.
Yeah, maybe.
I watched Contagion over the weekend.
Ooh.
Which was a bad choice.
Yeah.
Because I had never seen Contagion, and I didn't realize that it's, like, based on actual science.
It's got a happy ending.
It's, like, hyper-realistic. Yeah, it is, barely.
It's incredibly realistic. It's got a happy ending.
Yeah. They cure it. They've can vaccinate against it, but...
Yeah. As long as the mortality rate of the coronavirus doesn't get as high as it does in Contagion. I forget what the exact mortality rate is in that movie.
It's 20% in Contagion, which is, like, a lot.
That's a shit ton. And coronavirus is, you know, like it.
And they die fast.
Yeah. They die fast and they die hard.
Right. They have like seizures and their brains like explode.
Yeah, brain swelling.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking bats.
Have you had like a panic quarantine purchase yet? Where you're like, I'm going to be in here for a while. Let me make a really dumb decision about my entertainment or food.
I bought
light bulbs. That was my first one where I'm like,
I didn't buy
we might
light
not have
bulbs.
Any light bulbs later.
Yeah, I mean, that's not actually like, that's not the worst idea because like running out of light bulbs in a quarantine does sound like a really shitty scenario to be in.
Yeah.
But I just bought food. And the thing is, I went to, the Asian market yesterday because people are racist and it was the only store that like wasn't completely out of stock of everything here. So I just went to the Asian market, stocked up on Japanese Kit Kats and dumplings.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I got a fucking freezer full of dumplings.
Yeah. I've got so much. I bought the Friday the 13th collection on Vudu. I don't know why. Like as soon as, even as I was doing it, I'm like, why am I doing this? And I'm like, I guess I'm going to watch every Friday the 13th movie now.
Does that include Jason X?
I hope so.
Oh, thank God. That's what
I
you paid really
for
need
that.
For. Yeah,
I
you,
paid
you
for Jason
paid
X.
For that.
This is, I'll have to report back. I might be able to watch them all by next week.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that would be a good run too of us to just get really into... a weird series and then watch all of it and report back like movies where, you know, like everyone thinks there's like three or four, but there's actually like a shit ton,
like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I'd much rather watch that. All right. So this includes Friday the 13th. Uh-huh. This is $24, mind you, like not nothing, but definitely something. Friday the 13th, Friday the 13th, part two, Friday the 13th, part three, Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Now, you would think that would be the last one, but you would be wrong.
Yeah.
And then Friday the 13th, part five, a new beginning. Friday the 13th, part six.
I love how like, they call it part five and also a new beginning.
A new beginning. Yeah. Which, you know, it makes perfect sense because there's more after that. and then Friday the 13th, part six, Jason Lives. I mean, no shit. I feel like
obviously.
That could be the title of any sequel. Mm-hmm. Where they have a killer who you thought was dead at the end. It's like part two, the bad Michael Myers lives.
Yeah.
Part two, Freddy Krueger lives. All right. Holy crap. There's so many more. Friday the 13th, part seven, the new blood. I'm kind of excited now. Oh,
yeah.
What?
It's gotten to the point where it sounds exciting.
Jason X is not in this. It's Friday the 13th, part eight. Jason Takes Manhattan. That is the actual title of the movie. It is called Jason
Takes
Manhattan.
That sounds
like
a Mary-Kate and Ashley movie.
Yeah, Mary-Kate and Ashley take Manhattan, and then also Jason murders them.
Yeah.
You know?
How the fuck is so... Why is Jason X not in that bundle? And Freddy versus Jason either. Like, both of those movies should be included.
Okay, so here's some cool... you know, this is also part of it. If you're looking for some shitty horror movies, both of the Friday the 13th remake and the Nightmare on Elm Street remake are both on Netflix right now.
I mean, if you really have nothing better to do.
Yeah. Like if you're looking for, I think a good part about these movies, like recommending movies, is that you have to be ready to get some really shitty stuff.
Oh,
like, yeah. Because that's where some of the fun is. You can't just watch good stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I'm a very like strident proponent that sometimes you got to watch some dumb stuff.
Yeah, this is why everybody should watch Cats. It's a reset button. And that way you know when a movie's good and when it's not. You need to know what's shit.
Sure. Yeah, I guess. you could watch all the Final Destination movies.
You could, but some of those are actually kind of fun.
Exactly. I think those are actually, they get more fun.
Yeah, I think Final Destination 5 is the best one.
Is that one called Final Destination 5 or is it called the Final Destination?
No, that's 4. Final Destination 5, they go back to numbering with 5, and that was the last one they made so far.
And that one's actually good?
Yeah, and it's fun because that one, the big twist at the end, is it's actually a prequel.
Oh,
so
the whole
series comes full circle.
Finally, that's all I want, because then they can't do any other things.
Yeah, right? But they will.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a new Saw movie.
Yeah, but that actually looks hot as fuck. Like, you got Chris Rock, you got Sam Jackson. The marketing is great. That's like a legitimately cool poster.
Yeah, I think that they can definitely have some talent, which is like, how hard is it to be a famous person and just be like, let's make a movie that everyone thinks is shitty, mm-hmm. and let's just make it like slightly okay. Yeah, because I bet the movie is not going to be that great. I think it's going to be like fine,
just in comparison to the rest. Although I kind of love the Saw franchise, like Saw 1. I might actually do a rewatch of that because Saw 1 is legitimately a good film. Saw 2 yes. and 3 are probably the worst of the series because it's that middle ground where like they still want to adhere to the spirit of the first, but
they want to hurt you.
But they
being funny.
Yeah, it's not even they want to hurt you. It's just like they want to adhere to the spirit of the first, but they also don't know how to write around it. So things get continually more ridiculous without the tone shifting in sync with the plot. But by the time you get to Saw 4, like Saw 4 through 7 are straight up comedies. Like they are actually horror comedies.
Nice. I'm all in. I watched Candyman for the first time.
Still haven't seen it.
The first one. It's on Netflix. This is an unofficial
recommendation.
For that.
Yeah.
But it's pretty scary. I was surprised that it was actually like it's from the 90s.
Nice.
It's actually pretty terrifying.
Cool. Like, I'm glad it holds up.
Yeah. So I'm interested in seeing the next one. My friends Mitch McHale are actually going to do a podcast, something about horror, and Candyman is going to be a part of it. So
the only stay horror tuned for podcast.
That. Yeah. There are going to be our sister podcast. Yeah. All right, let's get into the movies that we wanted to recommend today. Let's go one by one, and we're not going to do it in any specific order. Let's start with say the movie, why you think people should watch it right now, and what streaming service it's on.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I can go first.
Do it.
My first one is Zodiac.
I knew it.
It's
I
a classic.
I knew you'd pick it.
You knew you'd pick,
you so
knew
I would pick Zodiac.
So predictable. I think this is a good one because we're all in a state of like real emergency. So I think it's good to be like, here's another like
here's
serial killer
emergency. Like the Zodiac killer didn't exist.
Yeah, no, it existed. It just shows how people are dealing with like these troubling times of like, should I go outside? Like what, what's going to happen? Like there's someone out there trying to get me. So I think it kind of parallels the emotional state of society right now, and it's also amazing. Like Zodiac is so good.
It's David Fincher. It's amazing. It's David Fincher. Everybody kills it.
Yeah, everyone's murdering. You got Jake Gyllenhaal, Ruffalo, Robert Downey Jr. All like it really like a Marvel. Before
is.
Marvel,
they are all Marvel people now. I always forget that Jake Gyllenhaal is a Marvel person now.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
I don't like it.
Yeah. This is a pretty solid movie, and it's decently like long. It's like an hour, 2 hour, 2.5 hours.
I think it comes. I think it's like 2:40. It comes in like just under 3 hours. I thought.
Oh yeah, it looks like it's 157 minutes.
Okay.
So,
like 2:37, 2:40. Yeah, pretty close.
2:30 if you take away the credits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you know if you're interested in serial killer stuff, if you like David Fincher, if you like Jake Gyllenhaal,
if you like Mindhunters.
Yeah, really, this is like Mindhunter before Mindhunter.
Yeah.
So would definitely recommend this one. It's streaming on Netflix currently. Yeah. So check it out. Rob, what's your one?
My first recommendation is Marriage Story. The new
Why
Noah
the fuck
Baumbach.
Should people watch that?
Because you want to be sad in time of a quarantine. It's actually
You're trying
kind
to
of
break
a,
up some relationships.
Yeah, it's a sadistic choice, no doubt, because there are many people probably quarantined with their significant other right now, and watching this with your significant other is not the smartest move. But if you can weather through this movie with the person you love, that's a great sign. Like, that means you're fucking in it. So this is really a litmus test. Like,
yeah,
test your relationship. This is what you should be doing in quarantine. Like, how much stress? What are the pressure points of your relationship? You know,
Rob's going full chaos mode on his recommendations.
it's good. It's just very good.
It is good. Yeah.
Adam Driver kills it. Scarlett Johansson kills it. Alan Alda kills it.
Laura Dern kills it.
Ray Liotta kills it.
Kills it. Everybody's killing it.
Yeah, killing it. They're like the coronavirus of actors.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All
and
right.
This is on Netflix because it is a Netflix original.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Netflix originals are definitely a good move for this. This is like really good for Netflix because they've got such a built up, like, I feel like they just recently stocked up on a lot of movies. Like, there's a lot of good stuff on Netflix right now.
Yeah. They spent like, because they're spending like $3 billion a year on content acquisition.
Idiots.
Which is, I mean, yeah, great for us, bad for the investors. That shit's gonna burst.
Yeah, eventually. But they paid for it all like right away. So yeah. I think, you know, hopefully the next few years will just be them raking in some more money.
Hope so.
All right. My next movie is The Talented Mr. Ripley. Currently streaming on Netflix.
Never seen this.
Really? I'd highly recommend. It's a great thriller starring some beautiful people. You got Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jude Law in his first movie, and Kate Blanchett, Philip Seymour Hoffman. There's a couple of great things about this movie.
Is Jude Law
First of all,
Mr. Ripley?
No. He is Ducky? Yeah.
Is Matt
Something
Damon
like
Mr. Ripley?
Yes.
Okay.
You got it.
I figured out the movie.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Dickie Greenleaf is who Jude Law plays. So you got Jude Law at his like hottest. Like, he's like the most charismatic fucking guy.
Dude,
like,
have you
in the
seen
world.
The new Pope?
I have, and trust me.
He's hot as fucking that, man. He's, like, that's a bar to top.
He's tasty. Yeah, he's just wearing a napkin. And then you've got Matt Damon at his like literally like most sinister. Like, Matt Damon's playing a bad guy. Which
that's
has like
fun.
Only happened
that
twice.
That is very fun. I do want to see this just because Matt Damon should play more villains.
Yeah, and he's terrifying. Like,
ooh, okay,
as
maybe
this guy.
Yeah. All right, this is going on my list.
So the basic concept of this movie is that Matt Damon's character tells a lie that he went to, I think it's Cornell or Purdue, Princeton, actually, I think it is, that he went to Princeton, and then somebody says, hey, my son also went to Princeton. Did you know him? And he's like, yeah, of course. Could you talk him into coming back from Europe? Like, he's just hanging around in Europe. And he's like, all right. And so that's the first of many lies. But Jude Law is great. Gwyneth Paltrow is great. You figure out why she was like a star, because this is one of her first like big movies. She's really just coming out like this is one of her all time runs. And you got Kate Blanchett in a pretty small role. I think it's also like her first role too. Small, but you're like, oh, this is a murderer's row of actors like now. Like, if you had Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jude Law, Kate Blanchett, and Phil Seymour Hoffman in a movie right now, people would lose their minds.
Yeah.
Crazy. And you do have like a Philip Seymour Hoffman playing like the douchiest like prep school guy, and he's just so in it. Oh, it's so good.
Man, I wanna see young Philip Seymour Hoffman. Young Phil.
Yeah, he kills it. One of like the best opening scenes for a character ever. So highly recommend this one. It's a great thriller. And I think it's coming up. They're doing like a Showtime series based on that. So they're gonna, because apparently there's a few different Ripley novels. So we'll have to see.
I'm into it.
Yeah. What's your number two?
My number two movie is Green Room. directed by Jeremy
Saulnier.
You are
fucked up. Like
this is, hey, you recommended Zodiac.
That is not nearly as disturbing as Green Room.
Green Room is essentially, it's the same. Okay, so everybody's quarantined. You're in one room for, you know, a month or whatever. Yeah. This is just that mentality, but escalated to a point that it's incredibly uncomfortable. Like, if you just shrunk this whole crisis down, and instead of coronavirus out there trying to kill people, you have Nazis. It's Green Room.
Neo-Nazis.
Yeah, neo-Nazis led by Patrick Stewart.
Great Patrick Stewart role. Yeah. Like, one of his best by far.
Although I do love that he doesn't even try to change his accent, that he's just a British guy who's in, like, buttfuck middle of nowhere Tennessee for whatever reason, leading neo-Nazis.
Oh, this is, like, one of my least favorite types of movies where... It's great. This movie is fantastic, but it's that feeling of you're surrounded by people and that law doesn't matter here.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, this is, you're out in the middle of nowhere. There's a bar with all these biker Nazis.
Yeah.
And you're like, it doesn't matter what you do. Like, they are the law. What, are you going to call the cops? They'll kill the cops. Who cares? Yeah. Like, there is no law. Bruh, that terrifies me. This movie terrifies me.
You think the coronavirus cares about the law?
You know, I bet you it doesn't.
But so this movie is fucking great. Anton Yelchin is great. All the performances are they're killing it in this film. It's also, like, so tightly directed, very claustrophobic. Like, you know, if you do not want to be any more stressed than you currently are, probably don't watch this movie. But I love the shit. I eat the shit up.
It is a very stressful movie.
Yeah, but it's also very cathartic. And because of how difficult it is to get through those first acts, like, when you get to the conclusion, you're just like, fucking made it. We fucking made it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, Jeremy Saulnier, like, what a diabolical man.
Yeah. I love it.
He makes so many uncomfortable things.
I still need to watch True Detective season 3. I know he did season 3 of True Detective.
I think he did, like, 2 episodes of it.
Oh, okay, yeah, he did the first 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, that's the style. So,
man. But yeah, I'm into it. Highly recommended, streaming on Netflix.
Yeah. All right. Well, my next movie is a little unknown, but it's on HBO. It's on HBO Now, HBO Go. It's called Blindspotting.
And oh, with Daveed Diggs. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. With Daveed Diggs of Hamilton fame. This was one of my favorite movies about 2 years ago. Came out and nobody saw this. It made Obama's top movies of the year as well.
Yep.
You've seen this movie, Rob?
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. Like, it's really... It's co-written. It stars Daveed Diggs and his childhood friend, Rafael Casal. It was written by them both. It's starring them in the lead roles. And it's about basically somebody who follows, like, a guy who's on parole with 3 days left on a sentence. And then he witnesses a police shooting.
Yep.
And that's kind of all...
And then things spiral out of there.
But that just that anxiety of, like, hey, all I got to do is follow these rules. You're quarantined. You have only a few different places you can go.
It all relates back to the coronavirus. We have a theme to our lists.
We have a theme going. I really don't even like it. It's got Daveed Diggs is truly amazing. The structure of the movie, how it looks, is brilliant. And, like, it's got great, like, colors.
Yeah, what a beautiful color palette.
And you've got these snaps to real life that are so, like, tense. That's just, like the movie gets, like, hilarious. Like, you've got the great charisma and just chemistry between Daveed Diggs and Rafael Casal.
Mm-hmm.
And they play off each other great. They have great dramatic scenes that are... you know, really stoke the flames of, like, race and, like, what it means in America.
Yeah.
I am fully on board with recommending this to any person. It's not, like, super heavy either. Like, it's pretty heavy, but it's an easy watch. It's only 95 minutes. It's really great. There's rapping involved in it. Yeah, I highly recommend. This is the one on my list that I think I would recommend the most. It's streaming on HBO Go or HBO Now.
Damn, I didn't even know this was on HBO. Fuck.
Yeah.
I also recommend just listen to Clipping, David Diggs's rap group. If you don't
He's a rap group?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No what? Idea.
Yeah, look up Clipping, listen to Clipping. All of their albums fucking kill it. Killing it out here. But yeah, he's a talented boy. I'm glad that he got his breakout role in the Hamilton Broadway show. And I hope that he comes back for whatever Disney's doing with like their theatrical release of Hamilton. Apparently it's not really an adaptation. They're just like filming a Broadway show. But
yeah, that's what I heard, that they had just like filmed a show and they're going to release that, which I'm like, all right, like
whatever. I'm fine with it. Like that show, I still haven't seen it. And like, if this is the closest I come to seeing it, I'm totally cool with that.
It's pretty great. I would recommend it.
Man, I want to see it, but it's just, I mean, I'm definitely not seeing it for at least another 2 months. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Rob, what do you got next on your list?
Next on my list, shifting tones quite a bit. I know it got pretty heavy in the first two recommendations, but now we're getting lighthearted, because you probably don't want to stress out about anything with everything that's going on in the world. So I am recommending Into the Spider-Verse.
Good choice.
Animated Spider-Man film came out in December of 2018. This film is fantastic. It is the best Spider-Man movie ever made. I will fight anybody that argues with me, unless you say it's Spider-Man 2, because then it's debatable.
That would be my original choice, but yeah. I understand where you're coming from for sure.
This movie is fucking great. It looks beautiful. It's funny, from the writers of 21 Jump Street and the Lego movie. And it's just, it has such a heart. It's so wholesome without feeling cheesy. Everything in this movie works. And it's a miracle that it did. It's so stylized. It's so like, it's like pretty self-aware and meta, which I was not expecting.
Without being too meta.
Yeah.
Either.
Like,
which
you
is
can,
great.
Like, you can watch this movie as a Spider-Man fan and get a lot of the jokes, but you can see this movie without knowing anything about the Spider-Man lore and still have a great time. And honestly, I think this movie should have been at least nominated for Best Picture of 2018, but no, Green Book won.
Yeah, this movie is better than Green Book.
By far.
It's so much fun. It's nice and light. If you don't like Spider-Man, you're still going to enjoy this movie.
Yeah, this movie will make you like Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good recommendation and a good way to summarize it. If you don't like Spider-Man, and even if you don't really care, if you don't think you want to like Spider-Man, watch this movie. It's 100% self-contained. You've got a great Nick Cage performance.
Yeah.
I think who else? You got like Hailee Steinfeld.
You got Hailee Steinfeld. You got who's the dude from New Girl? The guy who voices
Jake
Peter.
Johnson.
Yeah, Jake Johnson voicing Peter B. Parker.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great. You got Mahershala Ali, Brian Tyree Henry, Lily Tomlin,
yeah,
John Mulaney is in this.
Oh yeah, you got Liev Schreiber.
Liev Schreiber. It is stacked, and it's just under 2 hours. It's really not that hard to watch.
Yeah, this movie is perfect. Honestly, this movie is perfect. I love this film. I cannot recommend it enough. If you haven't seen it yet, which I know a lot of you haven't, because it didn't make nearly as much money as like the non-animated superhero movies that come out. So I know that more people need to see this movie.
Yeah, this should have made $1 billion.
Easily.
For sure.
Should have made more than Far From Home.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah, so that is streaming on Netflix.
Yeah, we're getting down into our last two here. So I'm going to go with mine, keeping it nice and light. This is also on HBO, HBO Go, HBO Now. I figured that most people have it because of Game of Thrones.
Sure.
This is Dodgeball, a true underdog story.
Oh, classic.
This is a classic. It's keeping it light. You've got that classic Vince Vaughn straight man archetype going, where just weird things are happening around him and he's just playing it cool. I'm very excited to get in to watch this. It's a story of a man and his gym, and his gym is being threatened to being taken away from him
by Ben Stiller.
By Ben Stiller, the mega jail, the mega gym guy.
Yeah.
It has everybody. Like, it's got Vince Vaughn, you got Ben Stiller.
You got Jake Long.
You got Rip Torn, RIP Rip Torn. And then Hank Azaria as young Patches O'Houlihan. Justin Long, who's probably dead. Stephen Root. Classic. Oh, God. Great Stephen Root, who plays, who's the conflicted mentor to Barry in the series Barry.
Oh, that guy. Okay. I was wondering who Stephen Root. Okay. That makes sense.
Right. Some cameos by Jason Bateman and Gary Cole of Gary Cole. That's like he's Lumberg in Office Space, and he's Dan in he's the data guy in Veep.
Okay.
Yeah, great. And then Shatner's in it briefly.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's a great film.
Yeah, it's great. It's funny. I really don't need to like explain too much about it. This is just last. I'm sure a lot of it has not aged well, but if I was trying to think of something light that people would actually like to watch, and it's, you know, one of those classic 90-minute comedies, not like the Judd Apatow, like this is 2.5 hours long for some reason comedy.
Mm.
It's a perfect length.
Yeah, that's a good call. Good recommendation.
Yeah.
Thanks. That actually kind of makes me want to. I'm gonna break the rules a little bit. I wanna sneak in recommendation real quick, just because it's something that is right on the top of my
permission
mind.
Denied.
No, it's my podcast. I do what I want. Have you ever seen Looney Tunes Back in Action?
Yes, I have, with Brendan Fraser and Timothy Dalton.
Have you seen it, Timothy Dalton? I thought you meant Timothy Oliphant for a second, and I was like, oh shit, is he in that movie? But yeah. Those two, also Steve Martin in a role I did not remember him in at all. But when was the last time you watched this movie?
God, over 10 years ago, for sure.
When it came out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I've seen it a few times, though.
It was the same for me, but I don't even remember. I think I might have been talking about either Brendan Fraser or Space Jam. Elmer and I were having some discussion related to this. And last night I was just like, I want to watch Looney Tunes Back in Action to see if that was actually any good. And I looked it up. It was on Netflix, so we watched it immediately. And that movie is fucking wild. That movie, it holds up incredibly well, which I think a lot of like Looney Tunes properties do. Like classic Looney Tunes, I think, are still fantastic. I think Chuck Jones has like a mastery of comedic timing and visual comedy that I think they translated really well into this film. But I was so surprised by how meta and self-aware this movie was. Like, it's not like Space Jam where it's just like, oh, like, haha, live action cartoon combo. It kind of reminds me of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because it opens with like the Warner Brothers studio heads. Like, they're like, oh, we want to make a new Warner Brothers movie, but we need to like adapt these characters to be relevant somehow. and so you have like classic Looney Tunes comedy. The animation is done incredibly well. And I still can't imagine animating like those characters for a live action shot, because it's done even better than Space Jam. Because Space Jam, I think, was the inverse, where you just had Michael Jordan acting against the green screen and they just animated everything around him. Whereas this, they filmed it all on live sets and just animated the characters into the sets, which is, I think, a lot tougher because you have to change like the character animation depending on how the camera moves. You have to change the lighting and shading on the character. And it all looks fantastic. For a movie that came out in 2003, I'm like, this shit holds up way better than like any CG movie that came out back then.
Better than Pearl Harbor?
Oh, so much better. But it's so cleverly written, too. I'm just like, this is not, I looked it up. It's directed by Joe Dante, who did Gremlins and Small Soldiers.
Oh, really? And those are also two underrated. I haven't seen Gremlins, but Small Soldiers is.
Yeah. And that's like this movie, I realized watching it, like, this is not a kid's movie. Like, there's some like dark, risque shit in this movie that went way over my head when I was a kid. And there's like, if you just like movies, you will like this movie, because there are so many references to just like the backlog of Warner Brothers classics that they have fun with. I was like, I think Elmer and I were both just kind of amazed at how fun Looney Tunes Back in Action was. And then after the movie was over, we looked it up and this movie fucking bombed. This had an it had an $80 million production budget. It made $60 million at the box office, which is why we haven't seen a Looney Tunes movie since.
R.I.P. Yeah, especially it must suck when you make a really great movie.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, you can imagine when you make a bad movie and you're like, man, I wonder how people are going to deal with this.
Yeah.
And then when you actually make a good movie, which requires so many independent things going right.
Mm-hmm.
And that bombs, you're like, I guess I'll
yeah, well, that franchise is dead. Yeah. Guess I'll go watch Cars 2.
Yeah, really. Other stuff that just shuffling in.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess that I talked at like pretty at length about that movie. I guess that is my recommendation. I'm going to replace my fourth recommendation with that movie because I think more people should give that a second chance because I want to see Looney Tunes come back now.
Let's bring it back. Start the hashtag.
Hell yeah. Bring back Looney Tunes.
Bring back Looney Tunes. All right. My number five spot is another unorthodox one. It's on Amazon Prime streaming. It's a Magic Mike.
Ooh.
Not great movie.
Not XXL. After watching,
not XXL. I haven't still haven't seen XXL.
Oh, okay. It's very different.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
It's actually porn.
Yeah. The Magic Mike is a very misunderstood movie. It's a movie where Channing Tatum and Matthew McConaughey play male strippers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you think everything is about. It's really a character drama.
Yeah. This movie's dark.
It's Steven Soderbergh. It's dark. It's about like addiction and being into the parties. It's really about the lifestyle that you would think a male stripper would have.
Yeah.
And all these people's lives, how they got there, what they want to do. And it's pretty hardcore. It's based partially on the experiences of Channing Tatum, who was an 18-year-old stripper in Tampa, Florida.
Which is fucking wild.
Which is wild. That
but
he, yeah.
It also makes sense.
Yeah, so he did a lot of the dancing in this all on his own. It's directed by Steven Soderbergh, edited, cinematography. Like, it's really great. Like, this is a very great movie about these kind of, like, wayward souls moving through Tampa, being, like, selling their bodies. All they really care about is, like, getting ripped and staying in shape and trying to, like, game the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty dark. People get into drugs. There's some robberies involved, but it's, yeah. I think at its heart, a character drama. And Channing Tatum, this is his best role.
Yeah.
I would say this is his best role.
He really acts in it.
Yeah. And he's charismatic and funny. And yeah. he's fully in it. Everything that we know him to be now, like funny, a pretty good dramatic actor, is all on display here. Way earlier than anybody else was on that wavelength. Yeah,
this movie's also hot as fuck.
Yeah. Oh yeah. All these guys gyrating, getting hosed down with oil and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey shirtless, dancing in assless chaps.
Say no more, fam. Say no more. Sold. And then you've got, I think Gabriel Iglesias plays like a minor role.
Oh yep.
Which is pretty hilarious.
Yeah, he comes back in Magic Mike 2.
Yeah, this is all just like, it's a very light movie and just very fun. So would definitely just recommend throwing this on, especially if you trying to find something with your significant other who is attracted to men. So
yeah,
that'll do it.
It'll do it.
All right, Rob, what's your final recommendation for the people at
final
home?
Final recommendation is a little bit sadder. Got to come back down. Life's a roller coaster. But it is Okja. And I think this is another movie that more people should see, mainly because of, it was really on my mind because of like the recent Parasite sweep and yeah. like the Bong Joon-ho finally getting the appreciation and recognition he deserves. Go back and watch his old films. Like, they're all fucking great. Memories of Murder, fantastic. The Host, fantastic. Okja is fucking great.
Snowpiercer, which is also on Netflix.
Snowpiercer is also very good. I would recommended that, but I could be wrong, but I do think more people saw Snowpiercer just because it does have Chris Evans as like that bit of name recognition. Yeah. But yeah, Snowpiercer, just as good. But I watched Okja. When I first watched Okja, I was kind of lukewarm on it. I was like, this is good, but I didn't love it until I watched it a second time after seeing Parasite. And I think I started looking at it with more of the lens that he wanted people to look at it through. And just how like what the social issues that he was really tackling in this film became much more apparent. Uh-huh. And this movie's fucking great. I also just love, like, the pig hybrid is cute. He's adorable. You can tell that it's intelligent without, like, making it talk. You can sympathize with it very well. But this movie also gets dark. It feels like you start watching this movie and it kind of feels like, oh, this is going to be like Homeward Bound or something, where it's like, OK, the animal's going to get lost and the kid's going to have to go rescue it somehow. But no, this shit gets fucking dark. I won't spoil anything that happens. But
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm all in.
Yeah, you should watch it. Tilda Swinton is great in it. Stephen Yeun is fantastic. Paul Dano was great. Jake Gyllenhaal is hilarious and also disturbing.
Jake Gyllenhaal, what a guy.
Yeah, what an actor. He can just switch. What range that man has.
Great range.
Yeah. But yeah, Okja is great. The quick summary is, this American corporation is trying to create animals that they can farm more efficiently than cows. So they create these super pigs, is what they're called, and they give 5 super pigs to different farms to hold like a publicity contest where the farmers raise their pigs with whatever their traditional farming method is, and whichever one gets the biggest wins the prize. And the story centers on the winner of the contest, who is this Korean farmer up in the mountains of South Korea, super isolated, who just lets all of his animals like free roam. And Okja is the pig that they come to collect as the winner of the contest to harvest her meat and start replicating, like using her as like the breeding, like the main breeding animal for all the other super pigs to create more and more pigs of that size with that specific flavor. Yeah, and it's all about how this young child runs away from her grandfather in Korea, comes to America, and somehow tries to rescue her prized beast and her best friend.
Does she take Manhattan?
Yeah, she does take Manhattan.
Hell yeah, we've gone full circle.
Okja takes Manhattan. Fucking love it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got a solid list here, I think. These are some good movies to hold people over for the next 2 to 40 weeks. Yeah. You know?
We'll see. You're out of movies. Yeah. Just watch 28 Days Later.
Yeah, there you go. I think we'll be coming up with some new ideas in the future, but there might also be new movies coming out on video on demand.
Yeah, no, we're gonna
some different things we could review.
We'll talk about The Hunt. The Hunt is gonna be on VOD early. Like they're basically canceling the theatrical release due to circumstances and releasing it.
Oh, but it came in 4th at the box office.
Did it really?
With like $5 million.
Oh, I guess it did come out last weekend. But this weekend, I want to watch it because it's on video and I'm staying in quarantine.
Yeah, exactly. What else are we going to do?
Exactly. Going to watch the entirety of the Friday the 13th collection.
Here goes nothing.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see you next week with some fresh new content.
Yeah, stay safe out there, boys and girls.